Yeah, NFL Straya. How are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. You can see me on Fox Sports Lab NFL each week with my good friend, Matty Campbell. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. Oh, that dog's got diabetes. He's got the diabetes. It's costing me an arm and a leg.
Straight into it, mate.
God, I love him, but now I have to give him a needle twice a day. It is chaos. Anyway, he's worth it. Love him. I am here hanging out, you know, just chilling, not illing, in the beautiful surrounds of the Larry Armour Studio. And on the other side of this here computer, just chilling before his birthday, feeling pretty good about himself. He's a bloke whose team is still 8-1 because they had the bye. It is a sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Hello, Jimmy. We're a day late and a dollar short and all those sort of things. Hey. And, what's going on? Sorry, for anyone who's just listening to the audio, I forgot. Jimmy messaged me a couple of days ago through some really fucking wonky text messages because he can't type to tell me he had a broken finger. And now I'm just seeing the actual damage. You know, like fucking giant finger McGee over there.
Yeah, so when you say a day late, a dollar short, and a digit short, I think where we're rolling at the moment.
Wow.
It's atrocious, I'll tell you.
What'd you do, Jimmy? Anything? Is it a fun drunk story, or is it the Pats who just slammed your fist down on a table with that fake spike? Fucking
the Bailey Zappi fake spike, the Mac Jones interception. I just put my fist through my computer. No, this came about from I don't know, a bit of pub cricket, copping into the finger, shatters it. Away you go.
Yeah, right.
There good times, go. Great memories. Yeah. Just like this week of NFL football. To be honest, this week was chaos, so I can't wait to get stuck in, actually. We are a day late because of work commitments. But
yeah, I was flying back from Sydney last night and went, Jim, can I just have a couple of wines in the fucking lounge and just call this a night? And let's do it one day late. So here we are.
Not bad. So this will be the Week 10 wrap. We had Tay-Tay, you know, leaping into the arms of Travis Kelce. That was kind of neat.
The nine shout outs in the middle of the set, mate. Changing lyrics.
Here we go. Boy from the Chiefs. Love that. Can you do that for me next time Ramshackle play?
Sure.
Boy from NFL Australia. Done. But this one, the big story from this week, literally the biggest thing to get out of it is like close games galore. It was chaos. I loved it. It was just like everywhere you looked, something was happening. We'll do some yeah nahs. Literally, I think the only yeah nahs, we just want to rattle through. This is the exact moment where you need to know where everyone is, right? And it sort of feels like playoff setups. What's going to happen? Where is everybody? We did Super Bowl. Can they win it last week? Yeah, Nas, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they cooked? I can't remember. It was one of the two. This week, it'll be, are they a playoff team?
Yep.
Simple as that. We're just going to go through a bunch of them. Are they a playoff team? We've got Good Bloke and Flogs of the Week. We've got Outback Takeouts. We've got the Week 11 picks all wrapped up in, these ones, the J-Juice. I'm on the Hop Nations tonight, Gaz. These are 7.1%. I might be sideways by the this one. Anyway, let's get into it. Episode 85 of NFL Australia. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Oh, he's the boy from the Ramshackle Army. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him so much. Oh, I love him. This is Taylor Swift, and you're listening to NFL Australia.
My first fucking reference in one of those little fucking skit bits of yours, Jimmy. It's only taken you 4 years.
I don't know what you're talking about, Gaz. That was Taylor Swift calling in. Chaos week this week. Obviously, random thoughts. We always start off the show this way. I think the biggest thing, I just believe in love. I'm all about that. Nothing was set up about Tay-Tay jumping into Travis Kelce's arms, side of stage, running off the stage, going, oh my God, it's my boyfriend, having a smooch. I love it. Any naysayers can go jump. That's just beautiful.
Taysayers?
Definitely. I'll tell you what, though. Definitely not stage. I'm definitely not cynical about it at all.
No.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. And it brings a tear to the eye sometimes.
I'm just waiting for the Jason Kelce best man speech. Because you know it's going to be a cracker.
Just imagine that Bucks party. Anyway. This was close game central this week, wasn't it? It was awesome. What do we have? I counted it was 8 games decided by 4 points or less. And I think we had 5 decided by a field goal. as time expired in regulation, which is
Red Zone was struggling because there was multiple games going for last second field goals at the same time.
Actually, I believe it was six because obviously Buffalo Denver did as well. So that is rad.
Yeah.
What a week it was. Because I think we had Cleveland, Baltimore, we had Houston, Cincy, Arizona, Atlanta, which is still very funny. The Lions over the Chargers, Seahawks over Washington, and then the hilarious, this is rigged, finish to Buffalo, Denver, which was just, could not believe it. Yeah. But it was awesome. It was weird. It was chaos. Red Zone was just scrambling.
Fucking all over the place.
Yeah. It was so much fun. So the good thing is you didn't have to worry about my team. So there were also rumblings of, I don't know, a couple of reports out there. Oh, Bill Belichick might not be back from Germany. It's like, this is what bad franchises do. They fire coaches mid-season. Oh, well, the bye's coming up. It gives the new bloke time to adjust. You don't do that to the GOAT. You just don't, Gaz. I'm like, all I can see this turning into is like Bob Kraft is like continually just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. He just needs to go down and get more and more massages and stuff, you know, all the good things. And then as he's watching Mac throw these horrible interceptions, just going, oh, what have I done? This is bad. There was that moment where I'm like, oh, gee, he might actually fire Bill. but it hasn't happened yet. I don't think it will happen. You don't do it. Like, every other one can get fired mid-season, but I feel like the really tied-in coaches who have been around forever with the franchise, let alone the greatest coach of all time, they tend to get to the end of the season. Like, they're not Josh McDaniel, you know what I'm saying?
The other thing is with recent history with, like, Sean Payton, is it worth holding him on to the end of the year and when Ron Rivera gets fucked out of Washington, get something for him? Trade him.
Or Brandon Staley.
Or Brandon Staley, yeah.
One of those two things that is 100% why you don't let him go, because he signed an extension, he's under contract, and even if he wants to walk away, it's like, well, how about you go to the place of your choosing and they give us a draft pick.
Yeah.
The Bills, however, did fire Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one was weird, I thought, because I'm like, it wasn't Ken Dorsey who sent 12 men out on the field on the last field goal attempt by Broncos. It wasn't like Ken Dorsey's not going, hey, Josh, throw it to the other team all the time. Like, that's not Ken Dorsey doing that. It does feel like they don't have a really interesting, innovative kind of offensive outlook, but I feel like it hasn't really been the problem that much.
No, it was always his off-script stuff that worked the most anyway, and how do you strategize for that? And finally, they actually, Cook was actually, was it 7 or 8 yards a carry he was getting at one stage there? Like, they were finally establishing a run game, which is something that they haven't had in fucking years. Yes, there was the fumble, the killer fucking fumble that doesn't really help. But yeah, I don't know. That definitely had some scapegoat vibes about it, right?
The Cook thing was weird because he also got put in the doghouse straight away. It's like, but he's actually doing the thing that you need him to do.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? I think one of the biggest weird things about, like, NFL coaches, like, oh, he fumbled, he's in the doghouse. It's like, he's carrying the ball like 20, 30 times a game sometimes, right? A running back in general, sometimes. Like a real high use one, you get into that 19 carries a game. You're like, all right, cool. And then you have a fumble. It's like, oh, go to the doghouse. It's like, how about we put a QB in the doghouse for throwing an interception and see how.
The go-to you've just referred to was fucking renowned for it.
Exactly.
You'd have three running backs and they were used in cycle. One would be the favorite right until he had a fumble. They were like, oh, well, you're at the back of the queue. He was renowned for it.
And it worked for 20 years. Didn't work for us. Anyway, other stuff going on. Trevon Diggs didn't really enjoy the way his brother was being used.
He's like,
14's got to get out of there.
Yep.
Again, I didn't really see how it was Buffalo's fault that Pat Surtain was blanketing 14.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He got... like one of the dumbest decisions I think I've made this year is like betting on Stephon Diggs for a touchdown in that game. Cause I'm like, I watched him. He is not getting open. I thought he could out duel Surtain. I was wrong. Yeah. Elsewhere, CJ Stroud, the new best QB in the NFL.
What the fuck was that?
He was so good. What was this? This game was insane. What an awesome game. I love Houston. I hate that Texans team a lot of the time, but CJ Stroud is unreal. I love him.
Yep.
The best part is, like, guys, he entered the MVP conversation. It's like, well, we talk about this each year, right? It's like, oh, they've entered the MVP conversation. It's like the conversation is, he's not going to win the MVP. It's not much of a conversation, but it is a conversation.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers, this is one of my biggest points. I made this point a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago. Aaron Rodgers didn't tear his Achilles. Like, piss off. He didn't. He just didn't. He just had a high ankle sprain and lied. That's what he's done. He's like, oh, I could be back in a couple of weeks, man. It's like, then you...
Mid-December, I reckon. Mid-December. When you've got a good patient and a good doctor, you get a good outcome.
You did not tear your Achilles, Aaron, and stop lying, you coward. Oh, yeah, I've torn my Achilles. No, you've just got a high ankle sprain. You twisted your... You've hurt your calf. You tore your calf muscle or something. Flip side, sting with the Jets. Zach Wilson just continues to be hilarious. We'll talk about that in the game wrap. We saw the worst ever throw I think I've seen as a Patriot fan. Mac Jones. That was one of the single, like, it looked like me with my torn tricep trying to throw the ball.
Oh, that was about 10 yards short of the fucking end zone.
I tore my tricep ages ago now, but I was still like, so I have like literally, you know, I throw a football. I get three throws in. I'm all good. The fourth one, it just dies. It's hilarious. So that was exactly Mac Jones. I'm like, did he tear his tricep? What's going on? Couple of other ones. Tyler Boyd, that was a tough drop. He's going to pop up later, but classic bad beat. Cincinnati, you're just going to be like, dude, bro, what are you doing? Yeah. And my all-time favorite thing from this week, I posted on the old NFL Australia facey, the DeVito family, when they showed them in the stands, I literally spat take. I'm like, what? That's not actually them. So I got the screen grab, posted it up, and literally said, like, that is an AI compilation of what they think the DeVito family ought to look like, because there is no way, no, that is actually real.
That's them.
It's amazing. It's one of the greatest things I've seen this season. It is, like, he's still a shit QB, don't get me wrong, but god damn, that family is amazing. You can see his mum, you're like, that mum just makes the best food.
Yeah.
And like, he's got the big meathead brothers. He's
he's still living at home, not moving out. Like, why would you?
Yeah. Tommy DeVito story should be a movie, and it probably will be. Sam Howell sack watch, three more this week. He's up to 47. He's not at the record-setting pace. Well, the 100, breaking the 100.
He's not at his own record-setting pace.
He's still at the all-time record-breaking pace. So with seven more games to go, he will still give
it. I think they've still got two to play against the Cowboys, so that's not great.
Shake.
Yeah.
Nice one. All right. Any injuries there, guys?
The big one was Van Der Esch. So after that, you got a bit of a shove from Trent Williams, got shoved into a call. Is it that was a dirty hit? And I'm like, come on, at full pace, settle down. But it was a big, he pushed him out of the way and he went head first into another Cowboys team member, hurt his neck. But obviously, he's got a history of hurt necks. So he's definitely out for the season. And the question now is, can he fucking come back? That's tough scenes for over in Dallas. And the, other one for me is a rest watch. Fucking Michael Thomas this week. Unhappy that a contractor was parking out the front of his house and recording him, so he tries to throw a brick through his window. Yeah, that's good times when you're... People are kind of... I don't want you watching me. I don't want you filming me, but I'm just going to make a scene of myself.
Who amongst us hasn't thrown it? how I land. The amount of times, like, because we've got parking on our place unlimited next to the house, like, throughout the day. And the big problem is, obviously, we've got a very small side street next to us, Gaz. So we have had a VW four-wheel drive park next to the house for over 5 weeks. It's just there.
Yeah, right.
What is happening now? God damn. So, I can feel the brick vibes. Maybe I'm just being spied on. Maybe there's just like it's a CIA track or something. It's like just listening to all of my absolute insane ramblings in here in the studio. They could just subscribe to the shows. It would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a week 10 wrap.
Week 10 wrap.
Wrap, 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 wrap. Panthers-Bears, this game was horrible. 13-16. I've wiped this from my memory. Donta Foreman, I did bet on him to get in for a touchdown. He did, and he did hit his over for his rushing yards. That's all I remember from this game. Justin Fields didn't play. I remember that. Yeah. Some more tea bags. I just remember the Panthers are still really bad, and they are the worst team in the NFL. So
yeah. It's just more and more rumors of the bust status for old Brycey boy. It's tough scenes.
The fun one is, I mean, this is a weird situation where the Bears own the Panthers pick, and you're like, well, they want to beat them because that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. So good on. Yeah. Colts 10, Pats 6. Don't really need to talk about this one much.
We'll strap in. This is the one that I took the most notes on.
They go to Germany and stink it up. They stunkenheisen. It was there was a Jonathan Taylor touchdown in the first quarter and then nothing else happened.
Nope.
It was horrible. And Mac Jones, as I said, underthrew Mike Gesicki by 15 yards, 10 yards.
He was as weird. I don't even know what he was throwing at.
I literally don't know how you do that.
No.
Like, the most fun thing is, like, watching that pass this week and then watching Jameis throw an absolute, like, dart, Jameis Winston to Chris Olave, touchdown pass, like, back foot, opposite end of the, like, end zone, absolutely pinpoint perfect, as well as, you know, two interceptions. But that's the Jameis experience. Whereas Mac is just like, I'm just going to give him the ball. There you go.
Yeah.
Off we go.
The weird thing for me in this game, Minshew was just fucking dancing around like a fucking maniac through this game. But the whole Mac thing, they, of all the struggles, they lift him in. They didn't do the swap until that pick in the two minutes. Like, by that stage, what's bringing Zappy in going to, like, He's not warmed up. He's not in a rhythm. And you in the last 2 minutes going, here, go to the fucking, throw him to the wolves and see what fucking happens. And then what happens? Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to call a fake spike. You're only just getting involved in the game. You're only just getting your rhythm. But you know what? Let's call a fake spike and then try and pop the ball over the top. How's that going to end, Jimmy?
Yeah, not great. pretty sure that's how it went.
Yeah.
It was loss horrible. Like, the weird thing was, what they scored basically, both teams, I think, essentially scored on the first two drives. And then nothing else happened this game. Like, it was literally, I think I saw this stat. It was like field goal, touchdown, punt, 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 missed field goal, end of half. It's like, what? And then it started off interception, missed field goal, punt, field goal, interception, punt, interception, game over. But that is the worst game imaginable.
Yep.
It was loss horrible. But, yeah, the missing of the field goals from both teams, it was just all gross. Mac throwing away the game. Yeah, whatever.
Yep.
This game sucked. The thing is, I watched Zappy. I had a bit of Zappy fever last season. This year, it's like he's also not very
– No. He's not showing much, has he?
Not putting, put in great, you know, positions to succeed, obviously. But, yeah, anyway. Colts with that actually sort of stick around in the actual playoff picture now, which is hilarious because they're horrible. I don't know how they're doing it, but they are. They're, what are they, like 5-5? And like keeps them right there in the AFC race. So anyway, Browns beat the Ravens in an absolute cracker, 33-31.
Wow.
The Ravens completely gacked this one up. Well, they're still up to 14 in the fourth quarter.
Fucking wild. I'm watching this going, no. I mean, the Browns have got the defense, but they don't have the firepower to come back. Watson was hobbled. PJ came in for a while. Watson was in the rooms, comes back out, back on the field. Still 14 points down in the last. You go, well, surely now it's Lamar. These are playoff guys, and that's a good defense, and nope.
It was horrible. It was so tough to watch as well, like having, I don't know, bet the Ravens, because they were up so convincingly from the get-go where they're just like, ah, this is kind of cool. Let's just start off with a pick six. You know?
Yep.
Like, that's kind of neat. Pack her up. We're done here. This is great. And it didn't get much better because it was like, what, 14-0. They were just kicking the shit out of them. At one point, I'm like, this one's cooked. And then they just sort of got back in there and then the pick six of their own. And it just got bad. It got bad.
So it actually, I don't know if you saw this stat, Jim, but it's it was the NFL record, I believe, for the least amount, sorry, the most amount of time losing, trailing in a game, while still winning.
That's crazy.
And that all started because on, was it the first play of the game, Hamilton got the pick six, deflected the... Either way, it was within the first minute. So yeah, they were trailing almost immediately. And then they didn't take the lead until right at the end, right? So the most amount of time trailing and then still win.
That's incredible.
Fucking wild.
Because, yeah, like it literally was like the walk-off Hopkins field goal and then that was it. That's incredible. I hadn't thought of that.
Yep.
Because they literally did not lead until the go-ahead field goal.
Yeah.
Amazing. But yeah, look, for me, this was meant to be sort of the Ravens, you know, the best,
yourself, right?
Best sort of awesome mix of defense and, like, you know, coming to God offense. They're figuring it out. And they were scoring plenty. And the defense, though, just in that second half completely fell apart. And it was kind of strange because it's like Cleveland's defense itself wasn't that much chop until, again, the second half, and it all sort of turned around. So
the other thing that was weird for all the pundits afterwards were like real quick to jump on Lamar as like, yeah, he's passing at 75% and he's done this, but, you know, what's he doing to drive? We've seen this all before, right? He gets in, plays a couple of games, and then he's on the MVP watch, and then all of a sudden the fucking Ravens shit the bed and here we are once again. I'm like, dude, 2 weeks ago you were like sucking the guy off, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh no, it's just, he's just another fucking
true that. It's weird. It's just, all, I think for me, the simple idea of like, this is what the Ravens do. Well, it's what the Ravens have done in the playoffs more so than in the regular season, right? There's like gap up games like this. So,
yeah, but when you're after over halfway through the season and there's two games in that division top to bottom.
Yep.
That's fucking wild.
The AFC North is the best division in football. It is fun as hell. But yeah, it definitely comes after I was like, basically, yeah, these are the best, you know, balanced teams in, well, this is the most balanced team in the NFL. 7-3 now, Baltimore. Cleveland 6-3. Cincy are 5-4 in a while. Like, it's awesome. Speaking of which, they lost to the Texans. What was this game? It was ridiculous.
Fucking crazy. We were like, oh, yeah, look, Texans have been plucky, but surely, you know, this is, we all just were the last 3 weeks talking about how Smoking Joe's back. Burrow's fully healthy. You can't stop them now. They've got a good defense. He's scrambling. And then this happened, right?
Noah Brown happened, really. 170 more yards. That dude is crushing it. But yeah, like I was talking about the Bengals on NFL, Fox Sports Live NFL, as like the most balanced team, I think, in football. It's like they just turned it around. Joey B's awesome. The offense is looking great. I mean, missing T. Higgins obviously hurts. Jamar Chase still looks a little bit hobbled, but I mean, the dude's still at 124 yards. Yeah. Like, Tyler Boyd had over 100. Like, they should have won this game. They didn't because they gacked it up. And especially, like, down the stretch, like, just the way that they let Houston, like, Devin Singletary should not be running for 150 yards on you in 2023. Like, it's just, you shouldn't. Like, it just shouldn't happen. And then CJ Stroud just goes, yeah, this is all good. What do we need? A couple of big drives? Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Check this out. Boom. Off
storm
you go.
Storm down that field.
The way they just flew back down the field in absolutely zero time. It was like, what, a minute and a half left in that game for them to drive back, I think. And then they did it. And it's like, this was sick. Because Cincinnati tied it all up. They should have won the game. Tyler Boyd has the drop after he's made it to the... Like, Boyd had a massive catch to get them... I think it was Boyd who had that big catch, right? Down the sideline. To get them right up in there anyway.
Yep.
And then it's like, what the fuck is going on here? Oh, God. He's completely dropped. Gacked that game-winning touchdown, kick a field goal. We'll go to overtime if we can stop them here.
Yep.
Did not stop them there. And CJ Stroud just goes, fucking check this out.
See you later. Bang.
Houston. Are they for real? Like, what do you reckon?
It's... I'm surprised to see him above 500. Like, you know, you're Stroud at the beginning of the season. You're like, oh, this is, he could, you know, put up some NFL ready. But they had a lot of rookie wide receivers, you're like, oh, we'll see what these guys do. Like, prove yourself kind of year, no high expectations. Look at where you were with the Panthers. And then, fuck, they've shocked everyone. They've come from a defense that kept it tight last year and to, all right, well, let's see what we can do on offense, to they're one of the most exciting teams to watch in the fucking league.
That's what I said earlier, right? It's like, it makes no sense, but they are. Like,
yeah.
They shouldn't be, but they are. Yep. It's like, fuck, yeah, let's watch more Noah Brown. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and you look at who they're playing. Like, that division is all of a sudden squeaky, right? Like, with the Tennessee can't win away from home. That's not going to trouble the score as much. But all of a sudden, the Colts aren't great, but they're a bit plucky when they want to be. Houston's all of a sudden looking mighty fun. And the Jags, we're going to talk about in a second, had a massive stumble, but they've are always been known to randomly drop stupid games. So when it comes down to the end of that season, this could get really, really tight.
It's awesome. Yeah. That was, so what's that? We've just mentioned Browns 33-31, Texans 30-27. That's two game winning field goals right there. One that did not need that.
No, was one of the opposite.
Kicked the absolute shit out of the Jags, as you just mentioned, 34-3. I was watching a bit of this early and I'm like, the Jags look like dog shit. Like, what is happening? And it was one of those ones where you then sort of go, well, all right, every time it pops up on Red Zone, because like I switched off, I'm like back over to Red Zone on the main TV and had like whatever game I was watching on the iPad. And it never, like the iPad never went back to this game.
Yep.
And it just pop up on Red Zone every time with the Niners scoring again. You're like, oh. Yeah.
They were just constant, or a sack, or a something like that. Were just, or just all over them, both sides of the ball.
And you're like, oh yeah, that's why they're getting fucked. So
yeah,
and that's the biggest takeaway for me is like, hey, Trev, this was meant to be the leap year. Like, what is going? This was the MVP Smokey year. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. And he was horrible in this game.
Yep.
And like on the flip side, you had Purdy, who gets Debo back. Gets Trent Williams back, and the Niners look like a completely different team and a juggernaut all over again, right? Like, it's crazy how that works, but that's how it went. Like, Purdy, almost 300 yards and three touchdowns. And, like, Trevor Lawrence on the other side, it's like two interceptions, zero touchdowns, obviously, because they scored 3 points at home after a bye. Like, Etienne, I think, went out for a bit as well of this game, but, like, it still doesn't mean that Calvin Ridley should be getting two targets, you know, that sort of shit. Like, it's just like, what is this team? It's so fucking weird.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Kittle rumbled in for that massive touchdown, 116 yards total, I think, for him. Mm-hmm. McCaffrey's touchdown streak was broken, but he still had 95 yards on the ground. Like, it's just, I fucking love this Niners team when they're healthy. As long as they stay healthy, they're in the Super Bowl, I think, with all due respect to your beloved Eagles.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if they remember to carry three quarterbacks in the playoffs.
I'll pay that. Basically, this puts the Jags on fraud watch.
Yeah.
It's like, can they beat shit teams? They're like Dallas, right? They beat shit teams. They punked a couple of teams in London.
Yep.
And outside of that, it's like, all right, so rad, you've beaten who? So their wins have come against the Colts, the Falcons, the Bills, obviously that was in London, the Colts again, the Saints, who are dog shit, the Steelers, and now the Niners. And the Niners kicked the fuck out of them. And the losses have come to the Niners, the Texans, and the Chiefs. So, Jags, you're killing me.
Yep.
Anyway, Saints 19, Vikings 27. Josh Dobbs, I love this. What a story. What a story.
Wow.
And also, I love just dumping on Dennis Allen. You know me.
Yep.
He fucking sucks. Weird, strange one where the Vikings just sort of keep being the Vikings, no matter that it's Josh Dobbs.
Yep.
It's weird how he sometimes looks like early tens Kaepernick, where he knows how to scramble and still throw while also looking like he's going to keep on running.
Yeah.
Like, he just has that moment every so often where you're like, is Josh Dobbs good? I don't know. Yeah. And then it all falls apart like it does in Arizona. But maybe it doesn't here, Gaz. This is fascinating for me.
Yeah.
The Vikings are a better team than the Cards, right? On both sides of the ball. Like, can you keep this together?
Yeah. We've still got JJ to come back, right? Like, this is all without the premium wide receiver in the league.
Well, they've won five straight without Justin
Jefferson. Five straight? Yeah, it's fucking wild. I don't know. I just keep waiting for the wheels to fall off, right? And it just, to be fair, it didn't last year either. They just, until the playoffs. But they just kept squeaking out those close wins. You know, we just assumed it was Kirk Cousins, but Kirky's gone. So yeah, it's real strange. But also the stories coming out this week from Dobbs himself saying that Jonathan Gannon in Arizona flat out lied to him and said that he wasn't going to be traded or cut or anything right before the, and then sure enough, pack your bags, you got to be in purple, bud.
Don't trust those cards. Don't trust those cards. But
no.
So James comes,
or don't trust those Saints either, mate. Based on this game.
I love Jameis Winston. You know me.
Yeah.
Eat those wins. And we got the full Jameis. You never go full Jameis, Gaz. Never go full Jameis. He went full Jameis in spectacular fashion. 122 total yards after Carr went out. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. It's the perfect Jameis game. Like, that is incredible. He is everything. He's Thanos. Everything in balance. I love it.
He's like that guy, right? He's like that guy who's... who you know, who's like an indoor cricketer. He's a slogger, right? That's all he does. He's got no defense. You put him in and like ninth and you say, all right, you just, our opening batsman's still down the other end, just block. He comes out, smashes 20, goes out in four balls. And you're like, what are you fucking doing? Dude, all you needed to do was just keep it tight. Just give it to like... for Kamara, just fucking go.
Ironically, that's how I batted at pub cricket on Sunday. Where it's like, we're in a spot of bother. I'm like, I hit a six off my second ball. I'm like, I'm fucking here. I'm on here.
I'm on here.
Code it to mid on in the
no
next.
No defense. Yeah.
amazing gear. But yeah, the Olave throw was incredible. Like, it was fucking beautiful. Yeah. Olave took it. In no way, shape, or fashion could the defense have stopped it as well. It was incredible. Yep. But I mean, this is the thing. New Orleans, they have all these amazing moments and it never, ever seems to click properly because Dennis Allen's a horrible coach and I hate it. And even then, like, New Orleans were coming at them really fucking hard down the stretch because the Vikings didn't, like, they scored a field goal, I think, after halftime. But they did just enough. That's all you need. We'll talk about them again in a little bit. What else do we have? We had Packers lose to the Steelers. Again, another close game, 23-19. The Steelers just keep doing this. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's like the first time at this point of the season where there's they're 6-3 or whatever the fuck they are.
Yep.
They've been outgained in every single game. It hasn't happened since 1940, Gaz.
Yep.
1940. You know what was going on in 1940?
Yeah, I know there's a few things going on.
Not good stuff.
Not good stuff.
WW2, have you heard of it? Yeah. Fucking dead. Like, there was a bloke named Adolf still, like, running fucking raining terror down on, like, all of most of Europe. Like, what the fuck, man? And now that's like, yeah, the Steelers, basically, they're Hitler. I'm just saying. Like, that's where we're at. But seriously, the being outgained each week and still managed to win.
It's ridiculous. I think they're still, like, the 30th in, like, in total yards and 30th in, like, yards allowed. Right, it's something fucking ridiculous like that.
Yeah. The thing that blows my mind is, as you said, the yards allowed aspect. So the offense, defensively, the air yards and the rushing yards against them are pretty big week in, week out. But they just somehow, it's like a classic, to be honest, it's a Belichick defense thing of bend, don't break. Bend. They're bending so fucking much, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not breaking. It's incredible. No. I love it. So 23-19, Kenny Pickett didn't kill him. He also didn't do much. And this one was, for me, it was all about the running backs because you had Najee Harris. He got in for a touchdown. But every time you watch Jalen Warren, you're like,
Warren's fucking coming along.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Jesus.
Like, he's very clearly better. He's also on my fantasy team. Can we just put him more?
Just give it to him.
So can we stop with the Najee shit, please, Mike? But otherwise, this is like Jordan Love is – I just mentioned Jameis. It does, in my dumb brain, feel like Jordan Love is the next Jameis. It just, he has some incredible passes every so often. He has like that sort of level of athleticism. But again, he had two touchdowns, two interceptions where you're like, the fuck was that? He's like, no, I could have made that throw. I studied under Aaron Rodgers. Like, dude, you're not Aaron Rodgers. You understand that, right? He's like, nah, but I think I might be. And everyone's like, no, you're not Jordan. He's like, ah, but I might be. And it's like, no, you might be Jameis. I'm just,
yep.
I go full Jameis. But this Green Bay team is a mess. They can't score. Like, it's the weirdest part. They're 3-6. And, like, this, what, they beat the Bears in week one. They beat the Saints. They beat the Rams last week. And outside of that, like, they just can't score. Like,
they've absolutely had nothing.
They won. They put up 38 points in that first game of the season against the Bears, who were absolute dog shit. Since then, they've scored 24, 18, 20, 13, 17, 10, 20 in the win last week, and then 19 this week.
And you're like, Watson, like, he had a good rookie season. You're like, where's he gone?
He hates it.
Musgrave's supposed to be coming now, coming on. Aaron Jones, it's like he was back to 35, 2.7 yards a carry again last week. Like, I thought he had a breakdown of, you know, his hamstrings are good. He's on. I said he's at Steelers, you know. But still, they're fucking giving up a lot of yards. Anyway. I just don't think the Green Bay, sounds like the Green Bay fans might be in for a tough time for a few seasons to come, because they're gonna let this Love thing play out, because
they have to.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't know. If you go back and read a bit of NFL prognostication preseason by one James Clements, nailed that one.
There you go.
I'm gonna take a bow. I fucked up a bunch of other shit, but I
know. Yeah, I know. You're just gonna just remember, just
had some other horrible predictions. Oh, man. Titans 6, Bucks 20. I watched absolutely fuck all of this game.
Me too. I watched just enough to realize that I was starting Will Levis, and I'm like, this could be the one. Everyone reckons he's going to break out, and nope.
That was my sort of vibe. I'm like, I tipped the Bucks because the Titans are horrible away from home, and they proved that again. Will Levis gave us a couple of glimpses, but then just got overwhelmed. And I saw that was my worry going into this, right? Like a veteran Bucks defensive coach on the road, rookie QB. This might be where the wheels come off a little bit. That's exactly what happened. Mike Evans, like the best part about this was when I was watching this.
Steamrolling cunts.
The best part was he had two incredible highlights where he completely just managed, you know, the ads, the infomercials where it's like, are you trying to wash your car like this? And there's like some fucking idiot carrying like 27 things and like,
yeah,
shit everywhere. That's like Mike Evans with one of these catches that he fucking somehow dropped. Yeah. And then the next highlight is him just absolutely mowing motherfuckers down for a touchdown. Yeah. Like, that was sick.
That it's was Mike awesome.
Evans experience. I love him.
Yep.
So that's cool. Weird game. Bucks, look, good win for them. Because again, I've yelled about this time and time again. That was the team that's just like, we should be able to choose our own bye weeks because they were rolling, hit the bye, fell apart. What was it, like a 4-game losing streak, I think, at that point? Yep. But now they're back to 4-5, and I'm feeling
it. Did you see the article about the young dude? I can't remember who it was. Young dude from the Titans who went up to Mike Evans during the game and said that he was that he grew up homeless in Tampa Bay and just followed it like he was his idol. This is mid-game. Like, you know, my idol, where I grew up watching you. This is fucking great. And then he went and got steamrolled. Sorry.
Awesome. Sucked in. It is just, this Titans team is like an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a box full of shit. Like, it's just, I don't want to know what's going on. I hate it. And like, what are they? They're 3-6 now, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, 3-6. Like, that team is
cool.
Nice.
Speaking of enigmas wrapped in a pile of shit, how about those Falcons?
23-25 against the Cardinals. The Cardinals winning this game was hilarious because Kyler Murray's just like, can't catch me, I'm the gingerbread man. Off he goes. You're like, oh, I fucking love watching Kyler Murray. This is like the biggest part about all the when it comes to tanking, and it's like, oh, we're going to get a new QB. It's like, motherfucker, you did this 5 years ago. You got Kyler Murray with the number one pick.
Fucked off Josh Rosen, who you picked with it.
11th pick, I think it was. It's like, nah. We don't like Kyler Murray anymore. It's like, then he does shit like this. You're like, but that's awesome.
Yep.
Keep it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty fun.
Like, I'll take him on the patch right now. The only problem is obviously that giant contract, and it puts them in a weird position, right? Because you do feel like we've talked about, I mean, going into the season, like, oh, geez, there's a lot of good quarterbacks. And then the season starts and now we're 10 weeks in, there's like no good quarterbacks. is Kyler Murray a good quarterback?
Yeah.
Maybe. What we saw today coming off a fucking ACL, it was kind of fun.
But we always saw that they always started right for the first 8 games of the season.
And fell apart.
And then fell apart. So now we've got starting his first game, his next 8 games, he's going to be steamrolling.
I love
that. So maybe we should have, that should be the thing.
I'm actually here for that. Maybe this is the start of their season and they're 2-8. They were 1-8. Maybe they're just going to finish the season like 9-8.
Yep. There you go. Yep. But on the Falcons side, we got peak Heineken experience, and then he went down, and we ended up with more Ritter back in, scrambling touchdown.
We nearly won the game. Like, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And then field goal. Another one. Yeah. Amazing. I love the Cards. Thank you for that win, Cardinals. I hope they're going to be winning streak because that helps the Pats and the draft pick. Because now they're on 2 wins, so are we. So they look good.
Do we really want to see more Jonathan Gannon press conferences, though?
Nah. He's a weird unit, that guy.
He's
a real weirdo.
Yep.
But yeah, the Falcons really falconed that one up. Arthur Smith is like the dude where you go, he could get fired literally any week of the season and you wouldn't bat a fucking eye.
No.
You're like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
No one's going to be going, oh, that's shocked. There's a shock there.
That was a wildly entertaining game, though. Like, it shouldn't have been, but it was, because it was just complete chaos down the stretch. Yep. I loved it. Yep. Absolute chaos during this game as well. Lions 41, Chargers 38. Shootout, baby. Shootout.
Not a fucking skerrick of defense to be seen on either side of the field, Jimmy.
This game was awesome. It was stupid. This game was like just, it was the cocaine game. It's like, everyone does coke. Let's go. And they're just like fucking chewing your ear off. And you're like, okay. Let's just see what happens. This is going to be fun. And it was nuts. The thing for me is, like, how does this Chargers, like, this is the Chargers defense, I think, has the most money in the NFL spent on it, right?
Yep.
Brandon Staley, defensive coach.
Yep.
How do they keep getting lit up, Gaz?
It's been the same thing for years, right? Years and years and years. So what you do, you get Kellen Moore, and then if the defense sucks again, well, you're fucking Staley off. And Kellen Moore, we've been saying that since the beginning of the season. And this offense is fine, Jimmy, even with Mike Williams going down and a variety of other people coming in and out, Eckler out for games at a time. When it all comes together and clicks, that's fucking fine. But then the expectation is on Herbs to put up 40 points every fucking game because the opposition are going to hit at least 30. And then when he doesn't, he has an average game. Everyone's like, oh, he's all the talent in the world and can't deliver in big moments. For fuck's sake, guys.
So there's a part of me that's like, I would love to see Bill Belichick actually just coach this team. But then I would also, because you're like, right, what happened last time Belichick had a generational QB? I don't know, 20 years of dominance, all that good stuff. Mm. It does also feel like he would then sort of try to put Juzzy Herbs in a bit of a box and just do it this way. And it's like, oh, he'd suck.
I don't think that's going to work.
So yeah. I think I'd rather see him do that to Sam Howell. Mm. But this game was chaos. Like, Goff was awesome. And that's another question. It's like, is Goff good? Like, is Goff a top 10 QB at this point? Like, he's there, basically, because there's not that many good QBs. So I think it might be almost by default the 2 best words in the English language.
It's one of those just don't fuck up moments, right? Like they've actually got him some weapons, and it's the same as when he was at, you know, when he went to the Super Bowl in LA, you were just like, oh, okay, this guy's good. And then you're like, oh, well, it all got put down on the coach and it all got put down on the weapons and the fact that we could get the call, McVay could get the calls into him within 15 seconds to go and he would make these pickers. Oh, Goff just need to not fuck up. Yep. Well, then now he's gone and done the same thing somewhere else without Magic McVay,
Magic Ben Johnson though. So Magic Johnson. So.
Magic Johnson.
There not bad. Because that was a thing for me. Like the biggest part of this game was, I don't know, just watching the Lions just have those big bald moments and go, check this out.
No, what is it?
4th and 2. We could probably kick a field goal from here, but we're going to get the fucking 2 yards. We all know it. We're just going to do it. Fucking sack a big one. You bunch of nerds over there. Kellen Moore, you fucking PC principal looking motherfucker. And that's exactly what they did. Like, it was absolutely gnarly. So the way that the Lions really just went, we actually have big nuts. Just Dan Campbell going, I'm going to fuck up that little nerd Staley over there. Just check this out. Fourth and two. It felt like bullying.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like bullying. And I'm all for it. Like, that, it was so fucking ballsy to go, we could kick a field goal, but also we just won't. We're going to get, we'll get even closer and then kick the winning field goal to really make sure. It was just like a nuts on the fucking line moment. But this game was electric. I loved every second of it.
It helps when there's not a fucking single, there was not a single sack in the game, Jim.
That's awesome.
Not a single sack. And only seven quarterback hits for the same whole fucking thing. It was just literally a stand in the pocket, shoot the lights out, right? Good game. Not going to lie. Good game to be running Keenan Allen in your dynasty and Austin Eckler in your...
And Austin Brown as well. So the best part about this one is the plays for this game are a punt, field goal, touchdown, interception, turnover on downs. Punt, touchdown, 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 end of half. Punt, touchdown, 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 field goal. That's all it was. It was fucking awesome. I loved it. Yep. It was so much fun. I love the Lions. I love the Chargers. They're just chaos teams, and I'm all for it. Giants, Cowboys, who gives a fuck? 49-17.
What I like about your notes, Jim, is you've got the score backwards. So according to your score, it was Giants 49, Cowboys 17.
Oh, shit, wrong. 19-47, which makes the aggregate, I believe, 89-17 for the season between the two, because they beat them 40-zip first time. Yep.
The best was one of the, I think one of the memes this week was the best news to come out for the Giants this week is that they no longer have to play the Cowboys this year.
But at the same time, this is what the Cowboys have done all year, right?
Yeah.
Kick the shit out of the bad team. So every time they play someone good, they fall apart. They play a good, a bad team, and they look like the greatest
world beaters.
So it's hard to read much out of that.
No.
You know, beyond
City, the Giants haven't been able to put up points. I mean, the fact that they did put up 17 points is actually impressive for the Giants because there are a number of games where they made no offensive touchdowns. So the fact that they were actually able to score something was...
They were also still shed out in the second half. So what was it? It was like they'd been outscored. I think they had 28 at the half, right? So that was like 68-0 over six quarters, which is just fucking funny at that point.
Yep.
Commanders, that means the Seahawks are... I mean, sorry, that means the Cowboys are 6-3.
Yep.
And it feels like they're basically destined to be the five seed, right? So
depends. Eagles have got a number of we've got that tough run coming up. And so by the time we play each other in I think it's week 14, I think it is. 13 or 14, which is the Cowboys playing Eagles with the Cowboys at home, there could be that division could be evened up.
Interesting.
So that could be all for all the marbles, mate.
Nice. Seahawks, Commanders, again, walk-off field goal with the Seahawks. Jason Myers hits it. Weird game. This game was closer than it should have been, it felt like, for like the vast majority of the game. The Seahawks are like a touchdown favorite or whatever. And you're like, I know the Commies are going to play them tough, but the Commies will run out of legs, right? They played the Northeast the week before against the Pats. They go to the Northwest this week to play the Seahawks. The Seahawks, fine at home, need to get a big bounce back win. And Sam House is fucking good.
Yep.
Like, that's all it is, I think. Like, their defense, the Commanders' defense is shit.
He had 161 yards passing to running backs.
Yeah. It's insane. Oh, man. Whereas Geno still leaves you wanting a little bit more, but he had a really good game.
Yeah, 372. Like
statistically. But there was like three moments, like in the second half, you're like, is Geno doing?
Yeah.
Don't do that. He's like, oh, I'm going to do it. You're like, don't do that. He's like, nah. He's like the squid dose, the second squid, the baby squid. Yeah. He's like, hey, dad, check this out. I'm like, don't do that. He's like, nah, I'm going to do it. And then he's like, laughs up. I'm like, fucking hell. I've given birth to the Joker. Well, I didn't give birth. we've birthed the Joker. Fantastic. It's like, absolutely. That's what Geno is a QB. It's awesome. It'd be wildly frustrating if you're a Seahawks fan.
Yes.
Kenny Walker at least had some good moments. You saw the Zach Charbonnet like ram horn vibes where he's just like, yeah, I'm going to puncture some motherfuckers. Here, check this out.
Yep.
And like DK.
Still feels a bit, I know it's been floating around the Seahawks fans, that Charbonnet feels still a bit underutilized. I know you've got Kenny Walker there, but like, yeah, I kind of wanted to see a bit more of him when big raps coming out as a rookie. Like, yeah, just want to see a bit more.
Yeah, 19 to 6 carries feels like a pretty good split, I think, because Kenny Walker can just snap one off at any time that's massive, but Charbonnet is pretty fun.
Yeah.
DK and Tyler both hit 90, and like, for as you mentioned, right, Brian Robinson had the massive touchdown where they just completely fucking obliterate the Seahawks there. You're like, what is happening in this game? And then they get the walk-off field goal. Like, it feels like I learned very little about the Seahawks because I'm like, this is just every game that they play now, right?
Yep.
Just don't know what the fuck's going to happen. So good luck. No. At least Washington, it sort of feels like a little bit of the dagger for their season, right? 4-6.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Last two, really quick, because, I mean, Jets Raiders was dog shit. It's 16-12. Raiders win just because the Jets are dog shit. That was essentially most of it.
And the vibes around LA, around Vegas are fun now.
Antonio Pierce is just like, yeah, cool. And like it seems like, I don't know, Devontae Adams, like, I like playing football.
This rookie kid's
It's like, I hated Josh McDaniels so much that I'm just happy with life again. It's like, all right, sick. I need Devontae. Garrett Wilson, there was like, this did come down to a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Which came weirdly close.
Fucking, it was scarily close. They've actually, they ended up disturbing each other. Who was the tight end in front who fucking knocked the ball down?
I don't know, but yeah, Wilson basically had a look at it, right?
Yeah.
And he got ran into, it wasn't Lazard or anybody, it was one of their other dudes.
Nah, it was one of the tight, I think it was one of the tight ends.
But Zach Wilson looked like he was caught behind the line of scrimmage. Manages to get out of it, manages to give himself enough room to fucking fire up the bazooka, launches it. It's like, holy shit, he's made the end zone.
I think it was Conklin. Yep. I think it was Conklin in front.
Awesomely, like, weird way to end this game, which it felt like this game dragged on for fucking ever.
Yeah.
Like, it was like it was the exact opposite, I reckon, of, it's very similar to the Pats Colts game, but the exact opposite of, like, I don't know, even that Seahawks Commanders game that we just talked about, or Chargers Lions, right? Where the plays for this one, you just want to punch yourself in the dick, like, over and over. It's like punt, field goal, then nothing else for the rest of the game, basically. Interception, field goal, punt, field goal, punt, field goal, punt, touchdown, field goal, fumble, interception, punt. Blech. Like, what the fuck?
There were some weird ones here from Zach Wilson, though, because there was one towards, I think it was a second or third last drive when they're really trying to put their foot down, where he like scrambles around and does this jump pass like 30 yards down the field. That looked fucking awesome. And then 2 seconds later, he's on a typical Zach Wilson, I'm going to scramble around in the backfield, go back 10 yards, get sacked. Get sacked immediately in the play after that, and everything that I've just done well has just gone. Even when he was scrambling at the end, every time, like just in that last fucking drive, he kept scrambling to the left. I'm like, dude, you're right fucking handed. It means you fucking, you got a rocket arm, but you're throwing leaning the wrong fucking way, dude. Like, what are you doing? And they were actually pretty good. I thought these passes were, they're definitely going out of bounds. They're pulling to the left. They were fucking on target. It was just, couldn't bring them down.
I think it was it was either last week or the week before, I think we talked about how he takes the worst sacks.
Yeah.
It's not just a sack. It's like, it's a 20-yard sack.
It's not nine,
it's 20. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Zach Wilson? Time after time, that's what he does.
Yep.
And then Broncos, Bills, hilarious. Another walk-off field goal after the kicker missed it. But the Bills had 12 men on the field, so they kicked it again, and he hit it this time. Buffalo, I'm going to talk about them in a second. We'll do some ENRs, because that team is fuck odd. But the rest of this game,
that Cortland Sutton, do we want to talk about the Cortland Sutton tender? The touchdown tender?
Amazing.
The touchdown is so it was the most improbable touchdown reception since the next gen stats have started recording it, because they're like, no way he got that second toe down. And sure fuck enough, he was almost vertical out of bounds.
When you watched it, you're like, nah.
It's not horizontal.
He's like, his other foot's out of bounds. Like,
yeah, there's no way.
It's like, nah, he actually dragged it. Fuck. Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, that was definitely. But all of a sudden, sneaky, Rusty Wilson is now on 18 touchdowns. He's shit in the bed season last year. He scored 16 touchdowns all season. He's now on 18 to only 4 interceptions.
Amazing.
He's got one of the best, if not the best, touchdown to interception ratio in the league. Yeah, sure, he still only puts up 140 yards a game. But all of a sudden, fucking the Broncos are in the hunt here, right?
Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country.
Fucking wild to say. The defense has been getting healthier, getting better. And yeah, all of a sudden they can, at worst play spoiler, at best find themselves in a fucking playoff game.
It's crazy.
It's fucking weird to say. Because we're all like, nah, there's no fucking chance.
It just, like this game in Buffalo, for Denver to go in there and win it, it was just stupid, right? Like Javonte Williams was awesome. Like just time after time. It's like one of those, if you need an example of a bell cow running back, just running into a line of scrimmage over and over and over again, and just eking out enough space for you to go, this time I'm going to throw it to, I don't know, Jerry Jeudy. And you're like, oh shit, didn't see that one actually coming.
Yep.
And it worked. Mm. And it speaks a lot, I think, obviously to Buffalo's defensive woes, but they weren't that bad defensively, I thought, in this game, right? Like they had moments where you're like, all right, well, it'd be nice if we can clamp down on Russell Wilson a little bit because we don't think he's very good, Mr. Unlimited. But they didn't give up like horrible shit, it felt like, most of the game. They just never really had those moments where you're like, well, the way to fuck up Denver is to really just ruin Russell's life. And they just couldn't do it. And
yeah, Rusty was scrambling a little bit more than he had been. He still looks slow compared to the old Rusty.
They sacked him 4 times and it's
and they were bad too. Yeah. Like the ones that were when he was dancing around trying to step up into the pocket, trying to get through and get chased down from behind. I'm like, dude, you're not that guy anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But then there were some other really pretty ones where he still, his mind is still there clearly, right? Because there were a few little like just lollipop passes that were to open receivers because he would just buy enough time to draw the defense to him and then just lob it over the top so no one else could possibly get it. It was literally just fucking bullshit. But there'd be someone open. There would be a safety valve. And all of a sudden it's gone for 10, 15 yards. And you're like, oh, that's his brain still there. But the call play at the end when it like kind of the one that got them down, I was watching an analysis of it the other day, and they called like 2-0 blitzes in a row, and like the first one kind of got there and Rusty's like, all right, I've seen it. And then they did the same thing again. You're like, dude, he's just seen the fucking play. At least disguise it, like at least pull out of it, at least do something. But Rusty's just gone, there's some time over the top, see you later. All of a sudden I'm in field goal range.
So the defensive pass interference at the end, like you talked about lollipop rainbow pass, right?
Yep.
Because that was the one that got them where it's like he severely underthrew.
Jeudy came back? Yeah.
He came back towards it. There's like a hint. And it's like not within 5 yards, really. And it's like this is a bit of a dog shit call.
But if you're facing the wrong way and you end up in the chest of the receiver, you're going to get called.
Exactly. It's like you just got to be a little bit smarter than this. And the Bills just couldn't get out of their own way. Rusty did enough. Amazing chaos at the end, obviously.
There's also the one at the before halftime too, when they raced, they waste him off on the field to kick the clock ticking. No way to stop the clock, so they just race out the field goal kickers and do that. But all the analysis is all this is on McDermott, right? Because your defense is on the field, they've got their inability to stop the clock. You don't put your special teams on. You just fucking just get into fucking field block formation and hope they miss or give it a crack. Like, doing a player exchange at that time was just, anyway.
Yeah, it's like, how hard are you going to try to block it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But the thing for me is that I've put it as a note here. Starting to hear whispers of the Carson Wentz comparison, right? Like of the with Josh Allen. Because the big arm comes out, all the talent in the world, fucking becomes a touchdown machine, turnover machine. But the thing that if you go back to, I don't know if anyone goes and listens to our best of, but back when we started this, my biggest frustration with Carson Wentz was always those like rocket arm flat throws at your receiver. When we won all the playoff stuff where Nick Foles, he was doing those lovely loop passes that just put it up for Elshon Jeffrey to go up and get the ball, for Zach Ertz to go up and get the ball, not rocketing it at people. What happened today, or this game, is just rocket passes off the hands become interceptions, right? Like, you're either right on the reception or it's someone else's, right?
Good point. Like it. Yeah. All right, some really quick yeah nahs. The post halfway mark moment. Can they win the Super Bowl? Yeah nahs were last week. Let's do the playoff teams. Are they a playoff team? We already hit on Minnesota. Are they a playoff team, Gaz? Yeah nah.
I reckon they might sneak in. They're in a pretty, like, they're above 500 now. They're in a weak division. They've still got how many games to play? They've still got four games to play within the division. So I'm gonna go with they sneak just in, because let's face it, only one team from the South's going in, two from the East. So it's gonna come down from the I reckon one from the North and one from the West. I reckon we've got one.
Interesting. I think they make it just because they've got enough of a defense to keep other teams honest, and if Dobbs can just do enough, because the thing for me is, like, these teams aren't doing enough to catch them. The Saints, are they a playoff team? They probably win the division in my brain, so they probably are. Yeah, nah.
I think they are. We've been riding this wagon from day dot, but that's just so fucking, just so frustrating when people like the Falcons had it there. Like, every time the Saints have a stumble and the Falcons are right there to even the things up, then they just fade away. You can't see any consistency from Tampa Bay. So I still think even as shit as the Saints can be, they're going to limp over the line here.
Yep. Because, I mean, this is it. The next one is Tampa. Yeah, nah. And it feels like they just can't quite do enough, and Todd Bowles is a shit enough coach. So I'm going to say nah with that.
Nah, I don't think so.
And Atlanta, they obviously fucked their really good chance to jump up, because they're 4-6 now. They would have gotten to 5-5 with that win. They lose it to Arizona in just the dumbest fashion imaginable, and here we are. Cincy, you know.
Yeah, oh, fuck.
5-4, they're in 8 at the moment.
Well, so we're now currently sitting on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 5 or 6 win teams. So it's not counting the couple sevens. 9 5 or 6 win teams. In the AFC. So yeah, so they're only what? We've always said don't pick against those good teams to lose two in a row. They'll have a get right game. That was a blip, I think. Every team's had them. I think Cincy will get right and they'll be okay. I still think I'm still waiting for the Steelers to fall off a cliff. They've been riding their luck all season.
I look at this and I'm like, Cincy are a better team than some of the other teams we're about to mention, right? So Houston,
I'm still surprised they're winning games now. I don't think they are. That offense just isn't great. I was really surprised they had the firepower to come back against Ravens. Like, the defense is the defense, and that'll keep them close, and then, you know, the odd couple of lucky touchdowns and get that over the line. But I was really surprised that they had the firepower to come back from a trailing with that defense. I think they get overtaken by the Bengals. Yep. We still might end up with four in that division, but Houston's coming in hot, man.
That's kind of it. The next one is Cleveland. So that's the next team above them. They're currently in sixth spot because they're 6-3.
Yep.
Do they make it? Yeah, no.
I don't think. Yeah, look. So that's who we were just talking about, right?
Yeah,
Cleveland's not gonna make it. I think Houston may overtake them.
So you reckon Cincy gets past both Houston and Cleveland to make it, and Houston still jumps or just stays above Cleveland?
Yeah, I do, because of what's left in that division. Because they've still got four games to play within division.
Yep,
I reckon Houston's gonna get in. Either, like, they might take out the Jags, depending on how they rebound from this week, or we could see a wild card coming out of that.
Right. Houston play the Cardinals this week. then the Jags, then the Broncos, then the Jets, then the Titans, then the Browns, the Titans again, and then the Colts. I think the Texans are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. That Browns game's going all of a sudden spicy, right?
That'd be it. The Browns play the Steelers this week, the Broncos, the Rams, the Jags, the Bears, the Texans, the Jets and Bengals in the last 2 weeks. It's a bit trickier. But the defense, like, it feels like the thing for Cleveland is they have the best unit out of, like, those three teams, right? Cleveland, Houston, Cincy. So defensively, they might have enough. If Deshaun sort of just keeps on doing just enough, maybe. It sort of leaves the next three kind of as a moot point, right? Chargers, Indy, Buffalo. Yeah, nah.
Well, Indy, I think they're that step behind Houston, and I can't see them having the firepower to catch them. Not with Minshew. Houston, the Chargers, I don't think they can. Well, I don't think. They can't play non-defense teams constantly, right? That defense is just stinking it up. And Buffalo's a massive concern. Like,
5-5. It's incredible.
That's fucking wild. I mean, Miami has, and they've got a division winners schedule, right? So they're playing they've got a tough slate. They've got to play, but I think they're playing both the Chiefs and the Eagles. They definitely
are. They're playing the Jets, which they've already lost to the Jets this season, don't forget, in week one. They play Philly.
Yeah.
In Philly. They play KC in KC. Then they play the Cowboys at home. And they play the Chargers. Then they play the Patriots. And then they play the Dolphins to close out the season. That is...
They're not making the playoffs, mate.
It's chaos. They're not doing it. So that sort of steps on Outback Steakhouse. Because it's Wednesday at Outback Cas. You know what that means? That's right. Only on Wednesdays do you get 4-for-1 oil drum tins full of icy cold Foster's Lager at Outback. That's right. It's Australian for horse piss. I mean, beer. Sorry, beer. Definitely not horse piss in these giant oil drum cans full of Foster's Lager. Only at Outback. And today's Flame Grill take is, of course, neither the Bills nor the Chargers are making the playoffs. But not only that, guys. There's one team that's definitely not going to make the playoffs either. It'll be the Cleveland Browns. They're not going to make it either. Blow it out your ass, Cleveland. Sucked in, dickheads. Only at Outback. I feel like the Steelers, I trust them just that little bit more than Cleveland, just because you see those Cleveland games where they go, whoa, we don't know how to play offense this game.
Yep.
We just don't. We got nothing. And then you have weeks like this where you're like, what the fuck was that? How did they just beat Cincy? God damn.
Yep.
Yeah. Bit of chaos. Elsewhere, what else? Good bloke of the week. Do you want to do that? Let's do it. Every kicker hit a game winner. Very simple. Yeah. Because there were six of them.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
They're joining their own club. Kickers are people too, mate.
Can I give it to Noah Brown as well? 150 plus yards, two straight weeks. That dude was on the scrap heap. He's kicking ass, taking names there in Houston. The connection between he and CJ Stroud is fucking unreal. Like, I love it. Good job, Noah Brown. 153 last week, 172 this week.
There you go.
And CD Lamb, the list of every player in NFL history to have 10 catches and 150 receiving yards in three straight games. That's the list.
Yep.
It's CD Lamb. That's pretty fucking good. He's a Dallas Cowboy, Gaz, and that's just going to burn in your gut forever, but God damn, that's a...
it's pretty good. That's pretty phenomenal. It's pretty phenomenal. I think the... he's just told everyone he's the best receiver in the league. You just ask him. It's funny because when the rest of the wide receivers are being asked, it's like, no, you know, like AJ will give his list and... JJ will give his list, and CD's like, no, I'm the best receiver in the league. Right? That's a very Cowboys thing to do.
Very
Cowboys thing to do. But no, he's putting up the stats. He's earning it, and they really haven't shown much. Like, Gallup's fine, but hasn't become the thing that they paid him for coming off that, coming out of his injury that's led them to get rid of people like Amari and all that sort of stuff. Cooks, he had a great game, great week for me to play him. he actually showed up this week, but being very, very quiet for someone who's had 6,000 yard seasons. They're only starting to get some of these guys back on tight end to replace Dalton Schultz. They're starting to come through like Ferguson. So I really have been relying on CD. And, you know, with the defenses like honing in on him, he's still putting up yards. Like, what he's do you awesome. Fucking do? And he, considering he does play most of his shit out of the slot, right? So I don't know whether that's a good thing when you're potentially like the best defensive backs who don't want to shadow wide receivers will stick to an outside. So you may get some good matchups, but yeah, whatever. You're putting up yards. Happy yep. days.
I enjoyed it. I think he's good.
Yeah.
Flog of the week, Tyler Boyd. Old mate, no mates. That is a get on the team bus and everyone's like, yeah, g'day, Tyler. Yeah, you dropped that catch, did you? Yeah, jeez. Oh. Fuck, it would have been nice to win that game.
Yeah.
Just saying. Because that was also one of the most wide open catches you'll see in the end zone, I'd argue. And a bob, like, it basically, it was very almost spent it before he caught it kind of vibes and cooked it completely. So, not great.
Not great.
And I'm not going to feel too bad, but yeah. Tyler Boyd, what are you doing? Just catch the fucking thing. Like yep. the way he's like laying on his back going, oh my God, I can't believe I've missed that. We've all been.
Ouch.
Like it's yeah. tough. You've got one as well?
Yeah, mate. For me, it's got to be Sean McDermott, right? Not only. So he's made his offensive coordinator the scapegoat. He runs that defense and he's the head coach of that team, right? So anything that comes down to special teams, to giving up way too many points against the fucking the Broncos, like, you got to take ownership, mate. Like, questions around the league about your players and your offense, and yet here's you allowing a little 12th bloke to trot out on the field when you shouldn't be making substitutions. So, yeah, for me, I'm just like, yeah, maybe take the rest of the week off, mate.
Nice. We've already done our back takeouts. Little Aussie battler of the week. Good to see Dixon just crushing it again for the Seahawks. Yeah. That was like one of those games where you're watching and you're like, oh, yeah, it's Dixon, like with the punts every so often.
Yeah.
Wasn't called on too much in that game against
the – It was all field goals, mate.
He had the four punts in that one, and the longest was 49, but he's still just wildly accurate. And every time he pops up when you're doing those, the games that sort of go long. And it's like the only game that you're sort of watching, or it's like, you know, it's one of the last two mid-afternoon games. Like, sweet, got one on the TV, one on the iPad, off we go. And Dixon comes out, you're like, oh, there's ready kick that one. Captain Fantasy, Jimmy copped another loss this week. Tough one.
Oh, so,
how'd you go?
Yeah, I knocked off Matty O this week, just for a bit of fun. I started three Bears. Just for shits and giggles and still beat him. Right? So, yeah. I'm doing okay.
I was in there with a chance, I think. I played Colin and had a second where I'm like, oh, we might be on here. And then the Cowboys played the Giants.
Yep.
And he has T.D. Lamb and Dak Prescott. So I got fucked.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was doing Matty O was Should have got me this week, but I had Austin Eckler. Then also this week, the biggest pickup of the week was Geno Smith was sitting there as a free agent and Jalen Hurts was out on bye. So I just picked up Geno for a lazy 25 points and going off in that fucking game.
Bad. I was hoping Jordan Love would actually do something in the last week or two and just has not happened. And nope. That's why I'm very down on Jordan Love. Week 11, let's do it. It's time for the NFL Australia. NFL Week 11 preview picks. We had a fun week last week. I think you won by one.
Yeah.
Because I very stupidly messaged you and I'm changing my pick to the Jets.
That was fucking great.
And then the Raiders turned around and won it. It was
literally half an hour before the game started. You were like, "This is fucking bullshit. What was I thinking? Why would I pick the fucking Raiders?"
At that point, I'd already probably put three bets on the Jets as well. And then halfway through that game, I'm like, I have three bets on Zach Wilson. What am I doing? I need to take a long, hard look at myself. But yeah, it was all right. It was a fun week though, because, like, yeah, we both had some howlers, but we also nailed some pretty good ones, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple that we both lost by, you know, that 0.5
yep.
margin, but also, yeah, getting the Cowboys for me and the Niners, I think, were the two big ones. I think you had were on the Jags, at least to keep it close, and that didn't work out that way.
Not happened. So no. that was probably the big difference, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that one and me, you know, me thinking that I could give one to Levis and that he was going to prove that the Tennessee could play away from home, and then stunk it up. So
No good.
Anyway, I'm now leading by 4, Jim. So do you want my resume to offer me a job?
Do you want a gig? Like, maybe. Anyway, let's see how we go this week. Cincinnati at Baltimore, an awesome Friday morning game. I will be all over this. I cannot wait. And then I had that moment. I'm like, wait, I've got like a haircut at 2:00 on Friday. What am I doing?
That is so corporate lunch. And I'm like, I'm hoping that it's somewhere near a pub with a TV.
Yep.
But this is the fun thing about this game is that we have always said, you know, the strong teams, the ones who are going to be there in the playoffs, they'll always have a stumble, but the good teams don't lose twice. Well, here we are. One of these guys has to lose twice. So, yeah, I've gone with the home team, the favorite home team, and you've gone with the away underdog.
Cincy plus 3.5, it's just the key point, isn't it? It's like the 3.5. Yeah. I just think even if Baltimore win, all of their wins against good teams are like, it tends to, well, they're the shit pump teams like Seattle and who they beat? Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And they've killed them. Whereas Cincinnati tend to not get killed.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, since Joey B's been back, have at least been like really, really, really good most of the time and then had the hiccup last week. So, I'll take the extra 0.5 along that field goal. So I feel okay about the plus 3.5. You've gone multiple minus 3.5.
Yep.
Interesting. Great game, though. Can't wait.
Yeah, we'll cracker.
Awesome Friday morning. Chargers Green Bay. This is a weird one. I have gone basically the same approach with my Cincy pick where I think the Chargers are a better team and they probably win this, but the Chargers are also going to somehow find a way to charger this game up. Mm. Only win by a field goal or less. So Green Bay plus 3.5. Look, this might be one that once I dig into, I do my Friday column for CodeBet and I dig into some more of the numbers. This might be one of the ones that I change because I did not feel great about it. But
if we go back to your comments about Green Bay early episode, you were like 17, 19, 20 points. They haven't got really above 20 points. Even against a shit defense, what? Let's give them another 3 or 4. The Chargers are still – that Green Bay defense is not stellar.
Exactly.
So I think I feel like the Chargers could, you know, even a high 20s will cover the spread.
Tricky part for me will be then going, how do the Chargers go on the road outside in Green Bay where it might be cold? We're in mid-November at this point. Maybe I trust Green Bay just that little bit more to turn this into a bit of a slog. So I think that's where I landed with that. And I'm like, oof, but I'll dig into that some more. We'll see how we go. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, Jacksonville, both gone Jacksonville minus 6.5 because Tennessee are on the road.
And Dougie P won't lose 2 weeks in a row against Tennessee. Yeah.
Vegas, Miami. Vegas, this should be the week where the wheels come off. I think Miami at home with a point to prove off a bye.
Yeah. I didn't like that. It is a lot of points. That I was really uncomfortable with this one.
11.5 points is a lot. I just don't care though.
I had to go with that.
Like the Raiders could barely beat the Jets. Let's all be serious here. So.
Yeah.
Dallas at Carolina. We're both gone. Dallas minus 11.5 as well. Again, a lot of points. But Dallas, what do they do? Beat bad teams.
Smoke bad teams. Yeah.
Houston hosting Arizona. Houston minus 4.5. That was a weird fucky line, I thought, where it's like Kyler Murray's back, but Arizona still aren't very good.
Yep.
And Houston, I think, are 3-1 at home this season. 4.5 is a stupid fucky line, but I still like Houston.
Yep. No, same. I can't. Yeah, I'm not picking against the hot hand.
Cleveland hosting Pittsburgh. We both went Cleveland minus 4.5. I sat on this one for a little while going, I just don't see Pittsburgh scoring enough against the Cleveland defense to win this game.
I think the what's going to cost me picks all the rest of the season is I think I'm most of the time just going to be picking against Pittsburgh because I've just got in my head that I'm waiting for the wheels to fall off. You know, there's only those numbers, that bend don't break defense can't hold up forever, right? So eventually they're just going to get, well, maybe not smoked, but convincingly done. And as you said, against that, this defense from Cleveland, I don't think fucking Pickett can put up the points, right?
So they played in week two, and Pittsburgh won that one. It was like one of the first squirrely, oh, shit, Pittsburgh is just going to do this all year, huh? It was like 26-22.
But that was PJ? That was without, was that without Deshaun?
I think Deshaun played that one.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He played that game, and it was like that one where it's like, ugh, is Deshaun any good? Yeah. Like, maybe the Steelers defense is just actually pretty good. Mm. So I still just trust the Cleveland defense a little bit more than Pittsburgh. And like the way that the Steelers score and the lack of scoring is the thing that worries me the most in that one. So let's go Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Giants, Washington. We're both going Washington -9.5 because Tommy DeVito is Tommy DeVito.
How weird is it seeing Washington with a 9-point fucking spread?
They should not be 10-point favorites against anybody, but then you have the Giants, you're like, oh.
Yeah. They grind it. They've got a I know it's like they do have a history of grinding it out, but I just don't think that DeVito can put up anything, really.
Well, these two teams played like what? 2 or 3 weeks ago, right? It was like 14-9.
Yeah, that was great.
But Tommy DeVito, no chance. No. Chicago, Detroit, Detroit -9.5. It's a lot of big spreads this week.
Yep.
We've both gone Detroit -9.5 because Chicago a bit of a mess.
Nothing. Yep.
If Justin Fields gets announced for this one, though, I might be tempted to go Chicago +9.5 just to keep it within sniffing distance. But I'll let us all know later on in the season, all in the week. Tampa and the Niners. I've gone Tampa Bay +11.5 because I just got bored of big lines, I think, and taking favorites. So I think 11.5 is a big line. Tampa Bay aren't very good on the road, though. They got to win this week. You have taken the Niners -11.5. I probably might change this as well.
Yeah, look, I was, of all the ones that you were going to take of the big lines, I was. Yeah, this is the one that I think I'm comfortable with at home. Niners at home, second week back with all of their weapons back. Purdy will just look the same, not fucking up, and then handing it off to Debo, and McCaffrey will be angry because he didn't hit his fucking wave.
He'll start another 14 game touchdown streak.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, mate, I think this will be a romp.
I might change that one later in the week too. Buffalo hosting the Jets. So, annoying number, this one. Buffalo -6.5. The Jets defense we've seen be legit, but the offense can't do fucking anything. So it just does feel like the Bills can probably win this by a touchdown. Probably. Seattle, 0.5-point favorites in LA against the Rams. I love this one. I'm like, how is Seattle only a 0.5-point favorite?
I don't understand. Yeah.
The Rams coming off the bye, but they're not that good anyway.
Mm.
Maybe this is one of those ones where it's like, wait, how does the carousel work? Like the pie chart.
Yeah.
Or it's like the Rochambeau, right? Like the paper scissors of the NFC West.
Yeah.
Seattle beats San Francisco. San Francisco beats the Rams. The Rams beat Seattle. And it just keeps going in circles. Yeah. I still like Seattle. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Denver hosting mini. This was a weird one too, right? Because it's like Denver -2.5.
Weird. Like, there are all these, but there's also these like weird, the teams that don't often face each other, so you don't have a matchup, they're both kind of sneaky, knocking off a few teams, showing a bit of form in strange ways, and you're like, oh, who the fuck? This is a weird one to put any money on.
Yep. Denver, that secondary, as we saw this week, shutting down Buffalo, it's like if you can slow down like the rest of the remaining Vikings receivers, I think you're going to be in a good spot because Minnesota will be like, oh, okay, we're going to try to run the ball. And it's like, this might be the week where the Josh Dobbs wheels fall off a little bit. So, I've gone Denver. And then we've got the big one, Philly KC on Monday Night Football. This is easily the best Monday Night Football game we're going to get all year. Your beloved Eagles. I've actually gone the Eagles +2.5 in KC because I feel like KC just haven't looked that much chop all season. And I feel like your defense just do enough there, guys. So I'm in Philly +2.5.
There's something that has been it's a truism, Jimmy. It's been a truism since 99, since Andy Reid came to the Eagles, and it's a truism that has continued ever since. you don't bet against Andy Reid coming off a bye.
Nice.
To the point where Nick Sirianni, when he came into Philly and wanted to know how to treat, he started ringing Andy in the bye week and said, how do I prepare for the next thing? And coming off, giving Andy 2 weeks to prepare for an Eagles secondary that has been sketchy is tough. So don't get me wrong, I'm really looking forward to the second half because we have got Jalen Hurts has had 2 weeks to get over his bone bruise. We've got Roby should be coming back to play the slot. Byard's got 2 weeks in the playbook. All these things, people starting to get healthy and all that sort of stuff. So the bye week came at the perfect time, but it's still KC off a fucking bye. So I'm going with them to I'm going with them to knock us off. I think this will be the second game we lose for the season, and then I'm hoping we get a get right game next week against the Bills.
You make a good argument. I wish it was mine. I still like Philly. I think the KC defense and stuff, this is the one where you go, and everyone does like a bit of a question mark. The 2.5 is like the key thing for me as well, because I feel like this could easily turn into like a weird 1 or 2 point win for KC and Philly still cover. So
Don't get me wrong, I will be the first one. The first thing, if we knock this off next week, the first thing I'll be doing is coming into this episode and going apologizing for being wrong, but being very happy about it. But the funny thing is, Jimmy, I've organized a meeting next Tuesday afternoon. It's my fucking birthday and it's Eagles Chiefs. What the fuck was I doing?
Is it you and me at a pub? Like,
no, I may be reorganizing this meeting and trying to take it off. And then by the time this episode happens, I may be fucking poleaxed. It's been a while. It's been at least a season or a season and a half since I've been poleaxed on one of these episodes. So halfway through the season might be the right time.
I'm absolutely here for it. That'd be awesome. Yeah. The Patriots are off as well as the Colts because they just played, and Atlanta and New Orleans. So
there you go.
No one's missing any of those four teams this week at all. Yeah. So. Nice. And as I mentioned, Gaz is up by 4 picks on me so far this season. Tough one, but I'll peg those back. Thanks to his beloved Philly. That'd be all right. There you go. Episode 85 of NFL.
Well, that was an hour and a half episode, Jimmy. We've strapped in for a long one.
What happens when I have 4 beers? Like, we just go a half hour longer.
Exactly.
Not bad. Either way, but no, look, I feel like it was good to talk out like a really chaotic week.
Yep.
And like actually, to be honest, having like the extra day to let it sit and sort of like get all your thoughts in like in a row. I've got, this game was rad. When I watched it, it was fucking gnarly. And it's like, these are the 3 reasons why. And you talk about it at length. It's kind of fun. So either way, 85 episodes of NFL Australia now done, because that's it for this week. In the meantime, check us a follow across Facey, Twitter, IG, all that good gear. Rate and review it on your old podcast app, whatever you use, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. What is there? There's like one other one. Don't know. There's
Stitcher doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say Stitcher. It doesn't exist.
No,
it
doesn't exist. Anyway,
whatever you're using in the Android phone as well. Yeah. And star it. Big thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go listen to their album. Get around NBA Australia doing daily shows myself. Guest appearances by Stats Guy, which is pretty fun.
Nice.
And smash Cobet because it's good. And I have all my NFL ramblings on there. Gaz, what about you? Anything to plug?
I just want to plug this my birthday this weekend. I'm going to a park with a bunch of dogs and Jimmy and the squids, and we're going to drink some beers.
It's going to be good.
That's worth plugging, I reckon.
Should just do another show. Just put it on the iPhone. Just, what do you reckon, Gaz? Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It's fucking great. Nice.
All right, that's it. We are done. We'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
No worries. See yous.
Later, Hosen.